Blog Talk Radio.
Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Alton Sterling. God knows how many more you done killed. But I'm gonna let you know right now, we done marching. We done protesting. This is war.
Fist in the air, reaching for power.
Black power.
Step for my people until the last hour. I'm for the struggle, I give it my best. Standing on gas, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest. Folks think I'm tripping and say that I'm strange, cause all I be dropping is knowledge. I speak philosophy, real anthropology, dropping most times to college. Picking dimensions, I talk mathematics, I move through this life university. Unapologetic, I never regret it, dismiss it if you start commercially. There was a land dog, I live in the truth, believe in nothing until you show proof. Good, bad, the ugly, the facts of the facts, and the facts of deception is killing our youth. We better wake up and make a decision to change up our mental, our focus, our vision before we get something. The murderous system that set us to tell, so pop on my wisdom. The powers that wanna be altered, they gonna be blotted, the fact that they kill us. Methodically, but we all see that it's right there in front of us. So arrogant that they tell us their strategy. Soldiers are ready, my people are tired. Our weapons so thick, so it's time to go get it. You wanted to battle, we finished the sick. Come up to the front line, it's time to go get it.
Jump.
Fist in the air, reaching for power.
Black power.
Step for my people until the last hour. I'm for the struggle, I give it my best. Standing on dead, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest. Fist in the air, reaching for power.
Black power.
Step for my people until the last hour. I'm for the struggle, I give it my best. Standing on dead, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest. The devil is closing it fast, killing off all of our future, so tell me that's why we keep giving the pass. When they doing it with no conscience, being dismissive, killing our brothers and sisters and fathers and making excuses about it. Instead of taking the head of their body and tearing their heart about it. I'm sick of oppression, I'm sick of the struggling, homie, I'm sick of the lies. Sick of these crooked ass crafts just riding, randomly taking them lives. We need to do something that's better than nothing. Standing is better than kneeling, bleeding is better than begging the devil for peace. Man, I take it to giving the feeling. Time to rise, unite, homie, it's time to get it right. Cause if we don't, we won't. It's just a life I go from day to night. Get us on track. Get back online and just focus upon our people. Stop worrying about the devils and stop trying to be their equal. Fist in the air, reaching for power.
Black power.
Step for my people until the last hour. I'm for the struggle, I give it my best. Standing on dead, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest. Fist in the air, reaching for power.
Black power.
Step for my people until the last hour. I'm for the struggle, I give it my best. Standing on dead, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest.
Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner with Sis Nelly today. How y'all doing? Air date January the 22nd, year of 2021. Want to welcome you all back for our second season. We appreciate the support and the love from everybody. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Today's show, like I said, we are restructuring our platform, bringing back our Black African-centered space so that we can build and conversate in love and share with family. So I want to start out by saying salute to all political prisoners and our family locked behind these walls. I'm going to keep saying this, family. Reach out to these sisters and brothers and do what you can. They need our help. You can't just sit and let them just keep sitting there right. They shouldn't be judged by criminals like they are being judged and treated. They are being abused during this time. This COVID is going around. We need to do better by our family that's locked behind the walls. Salute to all Black media platforms to keep bringing us this information and knowledge, because we got a lot of things going on during this time, and the misinformation and miseducation continues. Salute to all brothers and sisters that are doing initiatives within their communities, working toward our liberation. We see you all Everybody that's doing something, we appreciate you all. The ones that are in the way, please get out of the way. I want to welcome today to the show. We got powerful sistren from the Republic of New Africa. We have our beautiful and gorgeous Elder Mama Kundi, Madam President, and we have Madam Vice President here today. So I want to welcome them to the show. How y'all doing today, sistren? Hello, hello, hello.
We're doing great.
We the last
yes.
We met.
That's good. That's good. I want each one of y'all to come on in, and I want y'all to introduce yourselves to everybody. And when you introduce yourself, just go ahead and give the people your new address as, you know, being in your new office, because congratulations are due all the way around. You know what I'm saying? So just address all new Africans that are listening, because we are all new Africans. Just address our nation. This is our first time having a female president and vice president. We happy. We are very happy. So go ahead.
I will keep our regular order that we usually do. I am President Sama'at. Thank you so much, Melly Queen, for inviting us on your show. It's always a pleasure. All new Africans or Black people that are interested in being independent and self-determined, you know, we are, hold on a second. We are welcoming all Black people that want the free to land, want independence, want to be self-determined. We do have a process, though, of course, in terms of what that looks like. So if you are interested, please give Queen Melly a contact, Queen Melly, and she can get you to where you need to be in terms of who you need to talk to concerning unit study. Because we are most definitely in our rebuilding stages of the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa after being under attack for many years. We've revamped a lot of different things, and we're rebuilding infrastructure. So that's mainly one of our main goals in this phase one of our future endeavors. So that's all I want to say at the moment, and I'll yield.
Okay, free the land. This is Mama Ayo. As the present vice president of the PGRNA and PCC rep. Consider myself a conscious citizen worker. And my job right now is to make sure that we work very well with the PCC, Madam President, as well as the PRLC, trying to bring all of those entities of government into a kind of a working balance with one another. And as we said, this is the rebuild time. There's a lot of new Africans out there. We don't have to go through the contradictions, the problems that Black people face psychologically, socially, health-wise, job-wise. And so, you know, our cry always is land, independence, reparations, termination. So we are trying to make sure that we are very intentional. And as Madam President said, it's a process of internal work. And that comes through work, study, and training. And the best way, the science that we've applied through criticism, self-criticism, constructive, looking at what is going on in the world, looking at the attack on this nation, how it has been made to be in a position of kind of confusion. We've come up with the science on how to rebuild. And if new Africans out there are listening, if you're part of the New African Independence Movement, if you're part of the RBG movement, we are looking to form alliances and, of course, contracts with anyone who's about separation, who's about self-determination, who's about trying to build for self, because The word is, if you are Garveyite, if you are Malcolmite, if you believe in the teachings of Collett, if you believe in the teachings of Obadeli, and we can go on and on and on, Queen Mother Moore, Betty Shabazz, all of the people who have built the foundations of this nation, then we can sit at the table together. And I yield.
My name is Elder Queen Commander Shekempt Moot Kandi Kante Bey. I am affectionately known as Elder Mama Kandi. I represent the Tehuti factor of the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa, the wisdom factor, the will. I was one of the ones who was present in the beginning more than 55 years ago when our government first began. And I continue to be what I call a conscious citizen worker. You got to have some Indians that follow the chiefs. I'm one of those, and I stand proud in that position, and I encourage other citizens to do the same. I yield.
I say. And look, I'm reading my number four to you, Mama Kandi. It says, Elder Mama Kandi, with you being as wise and intelligent as you are in the passion, commitment, and love that you have given in service to the Republic of New Africa since the signing of our Code of Umoja by the first 500 members on March 31st, 1968, what are your expectations for the Republic of New Africa for 2021? And you just... you said it before I even asked you the question.
Exactly. You know, we tend to be on the same vibrations.
That's wow. I'm blown away right now. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let me calm down. But let me get to my next question. I can't even stop grinning now. This is a trip. But, okay. The Republic of New Africa, people look at it, you know, they want to say an organization, but we are a nation, right? So I want each of you all to weigh in on that part, because people be like, what group? It's not a group. We are a nation.
Yes, this is Sama. Yes, we are a nation. We are aiming to free the land in the five states of the South. In the South, which is Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. So we have declared ourselves independent. So we most definitely are a nation, and we're a provisional government. So we're in the process of building up everything, and it's very important because we do have a very specific end goal. And that is most definitely the difference. And I'm sure Mama Ayo and Mama Kandi can give more on that in terms of what the difference is. Are you back?
So this is Mama Ayo, of course. And so, you know, we have done the research. We've been in and we realize that we have the international rights to declare ourselves a nation, because we are the descendants of those people who were both oppressed and killed off in many instances here on this landmass we call North America, and Turtle Islands for some people. And we also are the descendants of enslaved Africans that were brought here. In many cases, our bloodlines mix. So we have that right under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to claim that we are a people that have been victims of genocide culturally, physically, made to serve a master and a system, which we call capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, racism. That's a mouthful. But once you put those terms together, it covers every sector of human activity that we have been oppressed and we have been legally downpressed in this world, both here and abroad. So we have declared ourselves a nation because if you look at the history, we were never given the right or the opportunity to, once they so-called emancipated us, they just assumed, okay, what are we going to do with these black folks? I don't want to use the N-word. And we were just told, okay, just go and do for yourself until the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments began to be put into practice. But it's just on paper. So we have come to this decision, and our founding mothers and fathers decided that, okay, well, we're going to declare ourselves independent, and reparations are due. Because this is what you did, this is what you did not do, and this is what you are continuing to do. And anybody who comes in this venue knows what neocolonialism is doing and what we are entitled to. So that's a big conversation. And when we teach our children and ourselves the whole picture, as they say, the entire picture of our sojourn here in America and in the diaspora, we demand justice because we charge genocide. And I'm going to stop right there and let Mama Condi finish.
Elder Mama Condi here. I, a unique elder in our government, because more than 55 years ago in our beginnings, I was a teenager. So I have had the opportunity to view and participate in our government from teenage to adolescent, through young adult, through married adult, through motherhood, through grandmotherhood, eldership, both in age and the amount of time of doing the work in our government. Conscious citizen workers don't have to wait to be voted in or nominated or appointed. Conscious workers, citizens, can simply familiarize ourselves with the Code of Umoja, which is our constitution, with international law, with our creed and our oath, and proceed to be what I call gap fillers, filling the gaps of the work that need to be done. For example, our government doesn't have hospitals, but there's nothing that prevents us from doing the study and learn how to become home childbirth providers of African descent, or do the study and research and become homeopaths and herbalists, do the study and the research and become the educators and co-author considered curriculums K through 12 and educate from the African-centered worldview K through 12. Those are examples of some of the work that I have done, that I do, and will continue to do. There's more, of course, but I yield at the moment.
Ashe. I want to thank everybody for calling in to the show. If you want to call in and listen, call in at 516-387-1549. Thank you, Brother Che, for calling in. I'm going to let you come in at the end, towards the end. Thank you for joining us. Like I said, if anybody else wants to weigh in at the end, just dial in at 516-387-1549, and I'll let you weigh in towards the end of the show. All right. Shay, I have been so I guess I can say, like, rejuvenated after
joining the unit study, right, and being able to, you know, speak with you all every week and, you know, doing our unit study and different things like that, and like sharpening iron. Talk about the importance of the unit study, because I'm telling you, it is changing my life.
Yes, the unit study, that is like, think of it as a cell in the body, okay? It's essential. It is most essential. That's where everything happens. That's where the transformation from being indoctrinated in this particular system to becoming new African takes place on every single level, physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, socially, economically. It's all the transformation to become new African takes place. Any and all contradictions are dealt with in the unit. We do self-criticism, constructive self-criticism and constructive criticism all the time through and through in terms of correcting each other's thinking. Within the unit, there is collective leadership. Within the unit, we do study, we do work study, and we do training. We study the foundational documents so everybody can be on the same page in terms of what it is that we are building, what it looks like, how is it structured, what our principles are that we live by within the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa and our creed. Just everything. You get everything that you need to be transformed yourself into being New African in that unit. Also in the unit, we apply that which we know, right? We work on different projects. We work on institutions. We work collectively. So that happens. And we also have training, survival training and all of that. So the unit is very, very important. It is the most important aspect of the infrastructure of our government because that's where everything takes place. And that's where everything takes place collectively, and that's where we learn to implement Ujima and to implement Ujamaa, collective working responsibilities and cooperative economics and all of the different principles of Ma'at, the principles in Google Saba, and, of course, our creed. So it's just all around just important. I yield back.
I've been in a work study kind of unit since maybe early 80s, maybe 1978 or so, early 80s definitely, and that was, of course, with the All African People's Revolutionary Party. So with that in mind, I will just kind of support Sama'at in what happens, but it also teaches us that there's a transformational process that we have to deal with those contradictions within ourselves first. If you're an egoistic person, if you're a person who has a problem with collective work and responsibility, it gets rid of the individualism. It makes you accountable to each other because we're trying to build families. We're trying to build clans. We're trying to build nation. We're trying to get away from that individualistic, what we call the nuclear family into the communal family, because we're taking ourselves from a capitalistic point of view to a scientific socialist point of view, communalistic, from an African-centered perspective, not from a Marxist-Leninist perspective. We're talking about an Nkrumahist perspective. When we look at Africa, we look at ourselves, we look at the diaspora, that triangular connection that we have with one another and the rest of the world, which we know three-fourths of the world is going to be of brown and black people. And it's a really good process because you begin to find who your family is, not just your biological family, but the clan in which we're going to be building ourselves. And that's very, very important because you have to know the enemy from within. And I'm talking about individual, because sometimes because of our behaviors and the way we were trained and the families that we come through, we become our own worst enemies. And that transformational process contradictions and the liberalism that we allow ourselves. And it's going to be based on African law, African Ma'at, the principles of Ma'at, law, justice, righteousness, order, reciprocity, all of those things. So for me, it is an exciting time when we come to a unit and we begin to identify what is necessary. Some people are going to be working with new African education. Other people will be working on health and wellness. Other people are going to be working on defense and how we can be of service. The biggest thing is to be of service to the communities and to eventually encourage new Africans to take your beautiful, beautiful professions, talents, beliefs, your music, and to put them to the service of the race, to put them into building for self and developing an empire, a nation. I yield.
Elder Mama Kandi, as a preteen, I started out in the Garvey movement with the original Black Panther Party and with the Moors. They were my foundation. Then at the Black Power Conference in 1968, I got to meet a lot of the big names in our struggle in the New African Independence Movement and in the Pan-Africanist Movement. The main people I got to meet at that time, though, weren't the ones that were the speakers and had big names. I got a chance to meet the brothers that were doing security. I learned later that they were the Black Liberation Army. I got a chance to comprehend in unit study that the unit is the rudder. So let's say the people in the struggle are in the boat, and the boat is the struggle. What is it that propels and moves the boat? The rudder. The rudder is what gives direction to the boat and the people in the boat. That's what the unit is. It is the rudder of our movement. Ma'at, the winged energy of law, divine African law, is the rudder to all the other divine beings and energies in the African pantheon of divine energy. So you got Ma'at, order, reciprocity, harmony, balance, charity, propriety, truth. Those principles are the rudder that moves everything we do. It directs everything we do. It's where everything begins. That's the unit. The unit is the rudder of our governmental structure. I yield for now.
All right. Thank you. All right. And that's going into my next question, because like with the with my eye and the different principles and different things that we need to start focusing back on as a family, right? I know, like, during these, you know, we just had these holidays here, past, you know, I'll celebrate the holidays, but, you know, we had Kwanzaa here just past, right? So, you know, that little controversy came up about the founder of Kwanzaa and different things, and should we practice it. And, you know, I don't do holidays, but the principles of Kwanzaa and different things like that, are those the things that we should be teaching our African children, even in, you know, besides not even worried about how it came to be, or what are your thoughts on that?
question, Queen Melly, for me, please?
I was asking, what were your thoughts on that? Like with the Kwanzaa, people are saying that they wouldn't deal with Kwanzaa because of the guy that found it. But I thought that those principles were valid principles to teach our children. Am I wrong for thinking that?
No, you're not wrong for thinking that. Specifically, if you are coming from a real perspective, you know, a truth perspective in terms of with your intent. Your intent is to implement the particular principles. Now, of course, we know these principles were derived from principles that have been within our African culture, indigenous culture, since the beginning. You know, so I feel like if people's intention is to actually implement versus just, you know, treating it like a quote-unquote secular holiday, you know what I mean, and don't intend to implement them year-round, then, you know, I think that's fine. If you say unity, we need to implement unity, coming together, what that looks like, self-determination, what does that look like, and be practicing that, actually implementing that in our daily lives, and I don't think it's a problem at all. It just depends on what perspective you're coming from. What's your intention, you know? Because a lot of folks water down just like they do anything else, you know what I'm saying? And I comprehend, you know, in terms of the beginning and people having issues with that, all of that is fine and dandy. If you got an issue, you don't have to, it's your business. You don't have to acknowledge those principles. There's many a principle, other principles similar to acknowledge. So, you know, as long as we are living and rooted in universal law and order, ma'at, I don't care what you do, how you do it, what word you use to do it, you know, but we need to move in love and be 100% dedicated, 100% dedicated to righteousness. You know what I'm saying? 100% dedicated to the New African Independence Movement or just independence in general if you're not a part of the Republic of New Africa. Because there's other nations, other indigenous nations and African nations that are striving for the similar thing, the same thing. So I'm all about just the principle, whether the living principle, not just the word, but actually showing that this is my lifestyle, this is what I'm choosing to do, because it's folks that are straight up wicked, and they will claim a lot of different things, but we have to look at people's works. What are your works? What are your words? What is your energy that's coming? Are you coming to be of assistance and of service, or do you have another agenda? See, because we get caught up in all of these different things, but the real work is living it. What does that look like? And I yield.
Well, those of us that have been celebrating Kwanzaa or choose not to celebrate Kwanzaa know that that particular holiday came at a time when our people were trying to implement self-determination. And we know that at that particular time, it wasn't just one person's mind. It was a group of people that sat down together to create, which is what we call on. We believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of Black people, and in our renewed pursuit of these values. So those of us that had a little bit of insight into how this particular mindset came about understood it wasn't about just the man. It was about the community coming together to celebrate that. And it's important that we begin to, under the laws of self-determination, to create customs, to create, recreate rituals, particularly for people that have been 400 years and plus in a system that has sought to thwart us through various so-called other religious doctrines. I encourage people to look at the concept, and I believe that if you deal with unity, you seek unity. If you want to deal with self-determination, we want to build for self, buy for self. We want to create our economics This is just like I call a revealing. Now, after all these years, what has been mumbled behind the scenes, people are saying, well, you know, he really didn't create it. It was a sister or a group of sisters. Okay. What does that have to do with the principles itself? We say the principle of Ma'at, the laws of the Nguza Saba. We want to, we're dealing with justice and righteousness. Are you telling us at this point, so many years later, after this holiday has been created for us, it's really not in alignment with the harvest in Africa? It is still about the spirit of self-determination. Are you telling me all of those principles that took the time and the energy to be defined and put in key Swahili words, they're negated? Because the man that we call, that's supposed to have so-called created it, he really didn't create it. It was really a group of sisters along with him and other brothers. No, because that's just like saying some of the great works that were put out by black men who have white women should be negated, and we can go down the list. I yield.
Elder Mandy here, and I'm going to pass on this one because I never actually practiced Kwanzaa because I was already practicing Medu Neter, Akan, Ifa. So I've been supportive of other brothers and sisters who do support and practice Kwanzaa. But I never did because I already was practicing African spiritual traditions and African law and principles. I yield.
Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you for that. With being a new African, like, I explain to people what they're one of the biggest things that I try to explain to them about capitalism, and when you're looking at it from an African centered point of view, it's totally different from how we are living now and what we are building for our futures and for our children's futures. Because an African-centered society, an African-centered community, an African-centered educational system that's, that is African-centered truly is not going to look like what we are used to. So could you all give your perspective on what you think it would look like?
Repeat the question again, please.
Yes. Now I'm asking, like when we're looking at it from like an African-centered perspective, most people when they ask me, they be like the difference between capitalism and African-centered living. I put, y'all see what I mean?
Yes. Okay. So yes. We support, of course, we want to do away with capitalism. Our government is not rooted in capitalism at all. It's very communal. It's no hierarchy within our government. All economics are spread about equally. So, meaning that all our everybody's basic needs are taken care of. And here's an example. Say we have a business, right? One person was the initiator of the business. Just because, say I'm the initiator of the business or founder or whatever, just because I'm the initiator does not mean that I make more than everybody. Because honestly, this particular business would not be able to come into fruition without each and every person that's a part of building the business. So whatever profits
that are to be paid out, they would be paid out equally to everybody involved, right? That's a, on a microcosmic level, that's the best way that I can explain it in terms of economics, right? Yet within our government, within our nation, there is no class. We get rid of class in terms of the economic. There is no hierarchy. So it's based on your quote-unquote profession, right? So you know how in this society, lawyers and doctors and, you know, engineers and, right, they make all of this money. The politicians that make all of this money. And then other necessary people in the world, they like janitors and maintenance folks, and you know, it's a difference in terms of the level of income, right? Well, within our society, or it's a difference in terms of how you're viewed, you know, if somebody says, oh, well, I'm a janitor, or I'm this, or I'm that, some professions, quote unquote, are looked down upon versus others, and that's not the case in the Republic of New Africa. We get rid of all of that. Yeah, we get rid of classes. We get rid of economic disparity. We get, you know, that all those different things that capitalism creates. Capitalism creates all crime is due to capitalism. All the different problems that we see within our community is due to capitalism. You know, it's linked to that directly. Because wouldn't nobody want to rob you if they already got you? Okay? So we just have to look at that.
Yeah.
And we embrace that wholeheartedly. We are looking forward to implementing in full-fledged. Are you?
And I like the way that this Mama I, of course, but I like the way that we begin to kind of look at a reprogramming of a mindset, because we remember we're operating in this paradigm. We're operating in this particular diagram, and to literally unplug ourselves from this particular matrix and to create a new world, it's a process, and that's why we talk about work, study, and training. There are some folks that don't know what cooperative economics looks like. There's been numerous particular attempts at trying to create something, to buy back the hood, to create grocery stores, to create collectives, and every single time sin and messes it up. There are rare cases, and we do have cases, and they are to be congratulated that it works. But for most of our New African communities, they don't see great examples of that because they have not participated in it. They are not. They don't understand. We don't understand because we've tried many, 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 many times to do many, many things, and it could be jealousy, ego, not understanding what that looks like, being impatient with the money. It's always about that money, and it fails and it fizzles. And that's a reteaching. It's a reteaching, a reprogramming of ourselves, not being controlled from outside, but being internally motivated and holding ourselves accountable. That's what we're talking about, and that's a lot of work. It's a lot of transformation. And one of the things that we find is that you can't call yourself RBG, and New African, and not do the work. That's a word we're talking about. Don't talk the talk. Walk that walk. Walk it. And we're saying walk it through work, study, and training. I yield.
Elder Mama Condi here. The difference. As President Saa Aung San Maat said, all crime is caused by capitalism. So if class was a reality, which it is not, it's a myth and an illusion, if it were a reality, there would not be 2 million or more brothers and sisters with PhDs and master's degrees and no jobs. they would be employed somewhere, whether it's self-employed or working for some other structure. But the crime of capitalism is, in the early 70s, all of the jobs that made enough money for our grandmothers and grandfathers to feed our families well are gone. They stopped teaching those. They stopped teaching the industrial and the skills. Those are all gone. You know, Uncle Joe used to make tables, and his work was fabulous. Everybody bought Uncle Joe's tables. Miss Ann, her pies were slamming. Everybody bought Miss Ann's pies. Miss Ann's pies was the bomb. Everybody went to Elder Mama White, because when she delivered babies, you didn't have to worry about all kind of complications, because she had you doing all these different rituals and stuff, so you'd be prepared. And you knew that it was just going to go well, because that's the way it is. If you had some type of ache or pain, you knew you could go to Baba Utumutu, and he would do whatever ritual or ceremony and rub you down with certain herbs and salves and ointments, and done deal. But in capitalism, you have to have some type of status to do anything. And the status is usually have a lot of money. But the skilled ones of us can't get a job. We can't. We don't have the status because we don't have the money. What we got in trade is a bunch of damn student loans. Capitalism really is the major criminal on the planet. I yield.
Yes, most definitely that, Mom. Kind of, I agree with you on that for real. I thank y'all for that. I'm sitting up here, I'm just thinking, and I keep thinking, and I am so, I've come to a like a poem in my head, because for a long time I was upset with the world and different things. But like I said, after becoming more involved with the Republic of New Africa, like learning the African creed and doing the different things with you all, and being excited about the new things we are about to go into in this new year, the changes are so, sometimes they are overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? They have you thinking like, am I ready for this? You know what I'm saying? I want y'all to talk about like the importance of change and how we shouldn't be afraid of it. Because at first, I'm not gonna lie, I was scared at first, but I had to keep talking to myself and I still talk to myself daily, but I was afraid at first. So I want to talk about this for a minute.
Well, I mean, it's really a question of life or death, you know? If the habits that we have, and this isn't something that we all have to ask ourselves, because it's a constant growth and development, if the habits that we have do not lead to more life, and growth and development and moving forward toward our end goal and objectives in terms of being the caretakers of the planet and the caretakers of each other, then that's a habit that we need to change. We have to be dedicated to life. We got to be dedicated to fulfilling our mission and purpose on the planet that we agreed to before we came here. That's a dedication. And once you do know your mission and purpose, you to know what to do. If you don't and you're disobedient, you will pay, because that's universal law and order. So it's just a matter of decision, you know. Folks don't have to change if they don't want to, but woe is them. Woe to them, specifically if they know. But when you know, you're responsible, you got to hold yourself accountable, because you will be held accountable whether you hold yourself accountable or not, you know, because we're spiritual beings, you know. And so it boils down to that, what you want. It's all about what you want, you know. That's what makes change comfortable. Because once you find out and you know, you not wanting to change, your life will be very uncomfortable. So it just boils down to choice. We all have free will, you know, and we all have to be held accountable for that which we choose to do and how we choose to live. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to yield at that for the moment.
I totally concur. Because we know as dialecticians that change is constant. So that's what we talk about when we talk about change from the internal side. When you are given, you're downloaded with pieces of information, you got to make that decision. Do I open the door to righteousness, or do I open the door to maintaining a status quo? Because right now, we have a collective enemy. The collective enemy is capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, and racism. It has always been there. There have been manipulations to make it seem like it is the appearance of inclusion, when it's really we're still separated. We still have in every sector of society an unwritten law, an energy that says black folks are not going to be treated correctly. The black folks that our forefathers raped, pillaged, the most horrible things upon a human being. These are crimes against humanity, and we are living out the repercussions of what has happened. So when you know within your spirit that this is wrong, and you continue to uphold wickedness, uphold wrongness against the people, It's something that worries your soul. That's why we have a lot of people that are unbalanced, that are ill. All of us are ill in some way and fashion. So when you are given correct, or what we call right knowledge, and you decide that you don't want it, you know, they say those that have ears should hear and those that have eyes should see. That's true, because If you decide that I'm going to hide my head in the sand and just go along to get along and kumbaya and all this kind of stuff and intermarry and intermate and all that other kind of stuff, instead of being of service to the race and making sure that our children know who they are and what they are, because if you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going. This is what this time is about. We see single day. We have seen on the White House lawn what this particular country is built upon. You saw it. You see it every single day with Breonna Taylor. You see it, the discrepancies, the disparities, how other folks are treated that don't look like us and how we would be treated. And you need to ask yourself, because everybody's having that conversation, if that had been 1,000, 2,000, 20,000 black folks, we would have mass murder on the lawns of the White House. And that's for real. That's real truth right there. We could come armed and breaking into the chambers. There would have been mass murders in defense of the nation.
Exactly.
Are you?
Elder Mama Condi here.
Whoa.
When you first said, what do we think about, quote, change, unquote. As you know, I'm blind. But the image that I saw very clearly was the Sankofa bird. That's what I saw in my mind's eye, was the Sankofa bird. because the Sankofa bird talks about looking back, going back, the change that African people should be looking at is not a change within criminal system, but a change that goes back to our own system before the criminals ever set foot on the planet. Our change looks like when the land masses were won and black people were all over the one land mass. When it broke, some black people remained here in Afmorica or Afmerica, and some were in Africa. And change means going back to where the idea of the seven justices came from in Black Rose. The seven justices were black folk who judged on a case, and the case would involve, for example, a crime committed by a brother or sister who was thinking negative thoughts about another brother and sister. And because we were on the level where we could hear one another's thinking, you could be harmed by one another's thinking. Sankofa, going back, change that takes us where we were, not where we are, and not where we could be within the evil system, but takes us back to our beginning. That's the change that we should be talking about when we talk about change. Sankofa. People get ready, there's a train a coming. Don't need no baggage, just get on board. Change. Sankofa. I yield.
I say, all right now. Okay. There's a change coming. All right. What are you doing? You have thrown me off. Okay. Okay. I'm back. Okay. Brother Che, we want to thank you for joining the show today. I'm going to let him come in right quick, sister, and give us a comment. And then I want you all to give me a closing together. I have enjoyed our conversation. We have our platform back. So we are going to plan our monthly shows so that we can keep our New African family abreast of what's going on with the Republic of New Africa and events and different things that are coming up this year. And so that we can keep connected and keep supporting each other in different things, okay? So I want us to set up our time so we can start doing our monthly show again, okay? Is that all right?
All right, yes. Good evening, sisters. Thank you so much. This is a beautiful show. I agree with everything that sisters have said tonight. All I can do is add on to what's already been said. We have a reparations claim. We are owed reparations, $100 trillion. These politicians need to cut the damn check. We are done with this malign neglect policy that the Democrats and Republicans have implemented for the past 50-plus years. We are demanding what is rightfully ours. And that's going to be a generational long fight. It's not just going to be for 2020, 2021, or 2022, or 2023. It's forever long it takes, family. This is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And we need to do for self. We need to support things like Unity Community. We need to have Unity Communities all over this country. We need to stop begging for help and actually become self-sufficient and do everything that we need to do for ourselves. And I support separation and... Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you for having me on, Mally Queen.
Thank you, Ashe. Peace and power. And thank you for tuning in, comrade.
And all right, sister, and can we all start? And I'm going to let each one of you give us a closing. And like I said, we're going to set up our show so that we can keep our family abreast, because we want to, I want to have a platform where we can keep them informed with current news and different things, because we are not getting the correct news of information and different things. So if you all don't mind doing that, I will really greatly, greatly appreciate, okay?
Yes. This is Samad. I off top want to say thank you again, Sister Melly Queen. We love you tremendously. You are most definitely a person that has a true intention, true heart, 100%. Always coming to add give the best of yourself, and we do really truly appreciate you and you adding that extra energy that we need. Just as sisters within the government or just into the government in general, we thank you. We thank you for being willing to serve, you know, because we are all servants of the people, you know. We do
yeah.
this work because it's our responsibility. We came to do this. It's our sole responsibility. So I just want to say thank you. And thank you to all the other listeners that's on the path. Stay strong, stay focused. Please do not compromise yourself. I yield.
Thank you, Melly Queen. Again, I'm very humbled that you asked us to be on the show, and you know that my prayer and chant is that we continue to have our steps anointed as we're on this journey. All listeners, please go to the newly erected and what we call the bona fide website in small letters, www.pg-rna.com. Please register as a conscious citizen so that you can be exposed to all of the pieces of information on there. You will find that there is the NAND 53, meaning the New Akan Nation Day, 53 years after the Declaration of Independence. And go ahead and sign up, order a t-shirt or a flag or possibly a sweatshirt to support, because it is our biggest fundraiser. And we are trying to, you will definitely be talking to new Africans to support the government, the nation. That means we're going to ask for taxes, support, donations, because there's lots of things that has to be done. We're building communities. We're building our nation house. We have a black house, y'all. We have a nation's capital. And also get yourself involved in unit study. And we really, really encourage new Africans, if you want to be a part, you know, give. I yield.
Elder Mama Kandi, you mentioned there were several holidays most recently. Kwanzaa, there's also Jubilee, there's the winter solstice, and there most recently, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So in tribute to him, I set one of his quotes to music, and here it is. Actually, time itself is neutral. It can be used destructively or constructively. Progress comes to the tireless effort of people willing to be co-workers with God, and without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of forces of social stagnation. I yield. Thank you.
Ashe, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all. Thank you all for the warm and beautiful words. And like I said, we're going to get our shows together. This has been an awesome, a phenomenal show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Today is January the 22nd, 2021. Truth and Power
Corner with Sis Nelly. Today we have had Madam President Saul Ayotte, Madam Vice President Mama Ayo, and our beautiful, I love you, Elder Mama Kunt. Y'all have a great evening. Thank you all. Peace and power, all power to the people. Black power.
Black at you.
Black power, ready for the revolution.
Free the land. Yes, indeed. One God, one aim, one destiny.